July 9th, 2017, it's the Watt Pedro Show.
Thank you. your neighbor's fate is a big mistake. Woman, you better stop.
Watt from Pedro Show. Not in Pedro, though. Memphis, Tennessee. Sam Phillips Recording Studio. Also not Watt alone. Special guest, Taff Falco. Welcome aboard, Taff.
Hello, hi, Watt.
We started the show off with John Coltrane playing Mr. Miles Davis's band, Tad's Delight. And then we had Taff Falco's Panther Burns doing the Bourgeois Blues, a Lead Belly song. Tad, well, why are we here? Well, why I'm here. Actually, Tad's visiting too. He hasn't lived here for a while. But we're here making a Christmas album in July.
Yeah, so, Santa Claus is back in town. Back in the old Bluff City. Right here on the Mississippi River.
And you guys, you're the first to hear about it because it's kind of a plan that just came out. But around Christmas, in fact, it's coming out the day after Thanksgiving.
Well, what we're doing here, as you know, Watt, you're playing bass on the record, is we're making a Taff Falco Christmas album. Back here at Phillips Studios, Sam Phillips Recording Service, 639 Madison Avenue, Memphis, Tennessee, where I recorded three albums in the past. And then, you know, when we were on tour last year in the States, you, Mike, and Toby Dannett on drums, yep, and Mario Monterosso, and Francesco Daniolo on the keyboard, after our Memphis show, in October at Lafayette's. We came into the studio here the next day and recorded a single. We recorded two songs, Me and My Chauffeur Blues by Memphis Minnie, and a Panther Burn original called The Whistleblower Blues. Great. And then we jumped in the van and drove like crazy to Little Rock, Arkansas.
We made it.
And piled out of the van just in time to go on stage and play our show. So we're back at the Phillips studio, and the October single, and now our Christmas album. It's the first recordings I've done here since I lived in Memphis. Those records were done in the 1980s. I left Memphis in 1991-92 and took up residence in the old world.
Okay, leading up to that, Tara, what's your oldest musical memory, recollection?
Well, it's hard to say.
Like when you're a boy.
Yeah, it's hard to say because there were two things, or there were two sources. Television had come to Arkansas, where I grew up, when I was 11 years old, and we listened to the hit parade on television every Saturday night. But we were also listening to it on radio before we got the black and white television set. So we had the hit parade on the radio, and we had the Shadow radio program.
Yeah, yeah.
And we had wrestling with Gorgeous George. But in terms of musical work, we would hear the hit parade songs. And other than that,
was there music in the house? Did anybody play?
No one. My father was a Navy man, career Navy man, and he had a Navy record player. It was Battleship Gray, wooden case, mono record player with 78 speed.
Yeah.
And he had some discs, but the one I played when he wasn't around, because he only listened to the radio and television at certain times, but then when radio came in, he just did a lot, but there was no other music in the house, but he wasn't there. I grew up on this farm, and I would put on this selection from his lacquer records, which was Ride of the Valkyries by Richard Wagner.
Yeah,
yeah. So I would play that full blast on the daytime. And I got off on that.
What about school? Did you have any music stuff in school?
Well, when I got into junior high, you know, the Sun Records material, started hearing that on the radio. And we were listening to Jerry Lee and Roy Orbison, Elvis, Johnny Cash, and then, you know, Bo Diddley was on the radio. Everyone in Arkansas loved Bo Diddley. I'm talking about everybody, white, black, old, young. Everyone seemed to love Bo Diddley. And Jimmy Reed. People in Arkansas were crazy for Jimmy Reed. I was no exception. And we'd go down to Shreveport, which was the larger city in our region of southwest Arkansas, where I grew up, in this little railroad town between Little Rock and Texarkana on the Arkansas-Texas border. So my mother would go down to Shreveport, Louisiana, to shop now and again, and she took me to Stan's record shop, where she bought me asked her to buy me the Elvis singles and Jerry Lee singles. So at that point, I had a Westinghouse mono record player I got from Sears, mail order. It was made of composition, gray and white, two-tone deal that opened up. It was kind of portable. And I could listen to the singles on that machine with a
big hole.
With a hole, you know, with a little
plastic insert.
And I listened to that a lot. And we had parties, you know, with little dance parties.
Sure.
With our
boys and girls. Well, I met my school, so this might be a little corny, but like music class or marching band. Did you do any of that?
I was too dumb for that.
No.
I played football because I thought that's where all the pretty girls were going to be, around the football players.
Okay.
I missed a good opportunity to learn music because I never have learned music.
Oh, come on.
No, I haven't.
Okay.
I know a few chords. People show me.
Okay, when did that happen? When did you get lay your hands on a guitar?
Well, that was a little later. You know, when Johnny Cash came out, a lot of boys came to school with a guitar around their neck singing Johnny Cash songs.
To school?
At recess.
Okay.
Yeah. And I would listen to them, and it was kind of fun. But it was later in high school.
Okay.
I bought a guitar from, I guess I was about a junior or senior, from a friend for $5. It was an electric. And he taught me a few chords. And I remember...
Did you get an amp?
You know, I think that was one of those Sears guitars that had the amp in the guitar case.
Silvertone.
Yeah, Silvertone. And
made by Dan Electro.
Mm-hmm. He was into... quasi-country stuff like... not country. Raining in My Heart, songs like that. And he showed me just two or three chords. So I messed around on those. But I never really learned how to play.
Let's play a tune.
jumping to the flag, can you love another sin? Five different settlements will be on. That's a mix of town, have a train, have a plan. Five different settlements will be on. I want to be early to say, come on, what should I say? I just want to live, let's go, and on my face. I don't want to feel the way we're stuck in the worst out of play.
the hell was that?
Look at that muff out in the rain with his shovel, mop, bucket, broom. Go on, pick that tempact up, you can't.
This ain't a wrestling record until you're in the ring with a champ, buddy. Slippery. Real slippery. You ain't even got a bass player, you total jobber.
And now, Mr. Mike Watt on bass.
Well, I don't remember much about a night, but I remember these two fuckers coming knocking at my door, saying, can I borrow some drumsticks? And I'm like, my friend, I'm not speaking for some drums. Was I watching Mallrats or something? I don't remember. Probably Mallrats are playing on my band. That's what you used to do back in the days, you know? And I looked down, and what's they done? They've evicted loads of snails from their homes. I mean, these giant repo men with bastards are just squashing all their shells, like, you know, and there's something missing up the path. Because it's pissing down with rain, and the snails have all come out, and they're just stuck in them. I'm like, dudes, can you watch where you're going, please? Because, you know, even though I'm not Buddhist, I'm... I hate you when you step on the snails. Stop it, please. They say, oh, just give us the drumsticks, man, because we want to get some music out of them. You know, the snails, they wanted to live peacefully. No, you want the drumsticks. More importantly, then, you want to look down. Bastards.
Watch for Pedro. We heard where the Rio de Rosa flows.
The Rio Dolorosa flows.
The Rio de...
Or sometimes it's written where the Rio de Rosa
flows. Yeah, I think that's what's on the jacket of this sleeve.
Yeah.
People, this is off the first Panther Burns album, and that's the true version. But this is the version that me and Larry and Francesco and Mario got to accompany the album.
Well, the original was by Jimmy Light.
Oh, yeah. The original Panther Burn.
The original Panther Burn was on Behind the Magnolia.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. And that had Alex Chilton.
Yeah.
Bass. He
plays guitar.
No, I know. Who was the bass?
There was no bass player.
Ah, okay. And drum?
Well, Alex Chilton and Jim Duckworth
on that tune?
Between drums and guitar on the album. I don't remember who played the drums on it.
Okay. And it's not supposed to be a twist. I'm sorry. I'm just curious. Moon Fog, something brand new from Sawako. I haven't heard from her in a while. Arabia Swadada. With this is from the south part of Italy. Paranoico. Centauri, Unza, Super Freak, Sir Blake, Brightest Place on Earth, Oaks, that's all from southern Italy. We're Stone, You're Fucked by Uno, and they're out of Rome. Joe Bob Bridge 4, Round Eye, out of Shanghai, but in tour on the continent right now. Italian bass player Livio for Pisa. And finally, Levo with Carl's Path, South London, and that's me on bass. Return with Tal Falco. Now, okay, your buddy taught you some chords on the guitar. What was the first band you were in?
Panther Burns.
Okay. That's right. So I'm part of that. I'm the caboose on that train. All right. Do you remember the first Panther Burns gig? Or tell me how you put the band together.
The band came together because Alex Chilton had urged me to start a band when he started coming over to my house after a party that I had my place one evening, and The bass player of a girl group called the Clits was at the party, and Amanda Jones, and she was called Alex on my phone, and they were talking, and he said, "What's that in the background? Is that someone playing guitar?" She said, "Yeah, someone's here playing guitar." He says, "Well, who is that? What is that? That sounds really strange." And she said, "Oh, it's that guy that destroyed the guitar at the Orpheum Theater on Jim Dickinson's last waltz show. Remember, about a month ago? He chainsawed the guitar on stage." "Oh, yeah," Alex said, "I remember." He said, "Look, I'm coming right over." So he came over to the party, and we ended up staying up all night. And then he came to my place quite a lot. And I lived on the edge of the Garden District, and Alex lived with his parents in the Garden District. So he could practically walk to my house. Of course, I lived across the tracks, across the Elvin End Railway tracks from Central Gardens, but I was very close, in a very working class section. And so he, I was amazed with his guitar play, that Alex could play rock and roll. I mean, I didn't know who Alex was, you know. I didn't know he had was a singer, or had a band or anything, or I didn't know his background. Anyway, he started showing me some rock and roll stuff on the guitar, and I had bought another Silvertone guitar, by the way, from a neighbor, also for $5.
Yeah, because.
Because the original one I had,
yeah,
2 or 3 years later, I traded someone for a Webcore portable tape recorder because I was interested in making field recordings. So still, at the time that Alex and I met, I was interested mainly in country blues, folk music, and avant-garde jazz, and composition. I was listening to Eric Dolphy, Karl Heinz Stockhausen, Paul Bley, that kind of thing. And in Mississippi, Fred McDowell and Booker White and Houston Stackhouse and people like this. I wasn't listening to rock and roll, and when the 70s came in, I lost interest. After I came back from the Haight-Ashbury in San Francisco, and the psychedelic music that I was exposed to there, when that went into eclipse, I stopped listening because I had all of that music on vinyl, and I didn't hear anything coming out that interested me other than the aforementioned genres. And so hanging out with Alex, he played rock and roll in such a way that it was enthralling, and I enjoyed it. And I never thought I could play rock and roll on the guitar, because that was some kind of music that I figured it took a musician to play. I didn't understand how to do it. All I did was play rudimentary blues. That's the only thing I ever attempted on the guitar when I got the second Silvertone. So we started messing around together, and one day he said, "You know, I really like to do a band. I'd really like for you to start a band. And I know a drummer, Ross Johnson, a renegade librarian here, who will play drums with us." Because Alex had a little duo called the Yard Dogs, and they were playing downtown on the on Main Street, just busking.
Okay.
And actually, I saw them one day, Ross and Alex. I didn't know who they were, at lunchtime when they were playing for Nickels and Dimes. And but I didn't know who they were. Anyhow, one thing led to another. He said, "You know, I'll play guitar with you a while, but you need it. I'll bring the drummer, but you need to come up with a name." And so I was hearing at the time people talking around Memphis about Pantherburn. What's that? Pantherburn. And so I started asking around, and Sid Selvage, a musician here, answered the question. He says, "Pantherburn, I'm from Pantherburn area. That's a plantation north of Greenville, Mississippi, off Highway 61. Pantherburn Plantation." And said it's still in operation. Where they had a wildcat.
Hold steady.
Huh?
That cat you just mentioned, that was from that area.
Sid Selvage.
Yeah, is he in the Hold Steady?
He was in Bud Boy and the Neutrons.
Okay.
He was a guitar
with the guy from here.
He played acoustic guitar.
Okay.
And he was a singer-songwriter.
Okay. First Pantherburn's gig.
Well, that was in a cotton loft on Front Street. We rented a cotton loft. We rented a cotton loft at 96 South Front Street in 1978, February 10th or 11th, was the first show. And we rented some stage risers of heavy wood from the Memphis Cotton Carnival Association. We hauled those over and up the stairs of the wooden cotton loft on Front Street overlooking the Mississippi River. And we had a show in a big open cotton grading room.
Okay.
And we invited all our friends, and we had...
February was cold, huh?
Yeah, but it wasn't bad.
No, because I did a record here a couple of years ago, and it was in January.
And I was cold in
there. Yeah, it cold. Look, Tim, we're at the end of the first hour, July 9th, 2017, edition of Watt for Peter Show. Special guest, Tara Falco. Hold tight for hour two. July 9th, 2017. It's the second hour of the Watt for Peter Show.
Pay the blues. eagle suits and the cowboy boots, 10-gallon hat and a baseball bat. He's had a spotty career and he looks half queer. He holds out a hand to the enemy. He'll soon be clean.
ピリピリ、ミリアルとか、ハルコールとか、だんだん疲れた。 歌詞ネタ切れだし、結局投稿バレすぎだよねって。トークタイム。ツイッターに LINE 入れて持ってったんだけど。今度ディズニー行こう。エルフとか見たらマジやばい。今度来てみよう。
long walk to your house. So thoughts, you are hunched, agitated, tense, unbidden. You hand me 20 quid. Shroud is a pale, but the pink snow imps have kindly washed away the palest puddle from the flagstone to the left of the caravan is a clearing. Caffeine. I'm
to have Falco give you the little run-up to their first Path of Birds game. We're going to get into that. Sorry, I ran out of time. Starting off the second hour was Agitator Blues. To have Falco's Path of Birds. What can you tell me about that tune?
Well, it's the title speaks for itself.
Okay.
Okay. It's about political agitators. And, you know, I go into that in my book.
Great book, by the way, people. Read it, please.
Ghost Behind the Sun.
Yeah.
Splendor, Enigma, and Death. Mondo Memphis, Volume 1. There's a chapter about Red West, the labor agitator.
No, on the motorcycle.
Yeah, he rode an Indian motorcycle, an Indian chief, which had a purpose more than sheer exhilaration. He'd go into towns in the South where there was a strike, and he would bring the strike up to a frenzy and keep the strike going as long as possible until demands were met or until somehow the strike was busted by the company and its hired goons and the hired sheriffs. So he was able to outrun the sheriff's posse on that Indian.
Yeah.
He left him in the dust, man.
Yeah, I know. It's in the book, people. You gotta read it. It's bitchin'. Then we heard Apisani 10, and this composer just passed away from the area of the former Yugoslavia. His name Milovoje Mika Markovic, and his voice is Jasmine. It got a popular TV show, and he did the soundtrack, and very adventurous for those parts. That, actually, for everywhere. Thank you, Stanislav Zavich, for turning me on that. Then we heard The Singing Room Champion of the World by Matt Jones and DJ Honeypants. Some Shapes with If I Stop Carrying On Without Me. Something that Joe Hill said, something like that. Don't mourn, organize. Howie Weave with Fork in the Road, and finally David Gerard and Holland Holmes with Shoreline. Now, what about this gig? Now, was it scary for you? This first gig?
It wasn't scary.
No, I said
that. The fact is, we had four songs. No. We had eight songs. We had three blues, one tango, and four rockabilly. Or rock and roll, rockabilly type stuff. And for the second set, we repeated those.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, I
the reprise.
I rehearsed with Eric Hill, the late Eric Hill, our synthesizer player. We had borrowed a mini Korg synthesizer, one of the early ones, from right here at Phillips Studio. And Eric knew even less about playing a keyboard than I do about playing the guitar. So he played with his knuckles. But we stayed up late the night before and rehearsed on those stage risers down at the Cotton Loft. And so I felt fairly confident.
Okay.
And
I only asked that because I get scared.
We just got in there the next night and just howled. And we had Jim Dickinson opening the show with Lee Baker on electric guitar and Jimmy Crosswaite on washboard. And we had Amanda Jones from the Clits playing bass.
Okay.
They opened.
Okay.
And Dickinson was in some kind of a mask.
Okay.
Wrestler's mask.
Very heavy.
Oh, he was calling himself Captain Memphis.
Okay.
So that's how he was billed. And I did a poster for the show. And I did a lot of posters for the Panther Burns shows. And then I started screen printing the posters.
Yeah.
The second show was in the same Cotton Loft. two or three weeks later with Charlie Feathers.
Yeah.
And he brought his whole family down in a rocking chair. Yeah, they all came down, they brought some food, they sat down there and they had a great time. His son Bubba played guitar. And I think Ricky, his youngest son, he had him on a snare drum with a cloth, a t-shirt over the snare drum.
Of course, you don't want it too loud.
So they played and they had a good time. Okay. We just, they were fabulous, man. Charlie Feathers, stunning man. He just, you couldn't touch that man.
That last tour, we got to do one of his songs.
Yeah, well, we're doing his 1980s version,
right,
of
he's got a
Jungle Fever.
Oh, yeah.
And also Jungle his version of the Jim Reeves song, He'll Have to Go.
Yeah.
But,
what about this song, Torture? We're going to play it right now.
I recorded that later to Panther Burns.
Sure, sure.
And yeah, it's based on that 50s dirge. And it worked out pretty well.
Okay, let's just.
Level down. top speed, had to exit stage left. Your weirdos ain't mastered the wave yet. If I stay with them, then I'm a train wreck. But when I'm all by myself, I'ma stay set, step by step as the flames get high. Trying to make my escape from the lake and the fire. Had a strange feeling that it couldn't get worse. So I jump off the top and I dove head first.
After her, you could be anyone, and you were. I'm not sorry it took me so long to see. And now you got him, he's got you, and I've got so much work to do. I can't pretend that you and me ain't through forever. I know you know how I love you. I hope you understand what we both just went through. After him, you could be most anyone. And you may
fucking obvious. Now he's never out of sight, even when I don't like something I could recognize. It's right between them, dead and nice. Follow with me, follow with me, follow with me round town. Follow with me, follow with me, follow with me round town. Follow with me, follow with me, follow with me round town. Follow with me, follow with me, follow with me round town. He leaves a blatant trace. I see him on his day of face.
Thank you.
Pedro Show, Tortured, Tab Falco. Then 5150 Monstrosity featuring MERS by Chato Ghetto, brand new. Vasco Antonasowski with Koga, the demo. Rod Bryan with a little more. Following by YBot. And finally, from the old days, and the scene I was part of, Regress for You, Nervous Gender. Great band from East LA. Picking up where we left off. How long you played with Alex as Path of Bird?
He stayed in the band, I don't know, a couple of years, 2 or 3 years, and then he produced couple of albums later.
Yeah.
Early, later. First album, we didn't have a producer. Every man for himself on that record.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I'm curious, what kind of process was
that? We did play together in New Orleans in 97 at the Center for Contemporary Art on the... They had an opening for the Andy Warhol retrospective they had there. So I just come back from Europe, and he and Renee Coleman and Ross Johnson, the original drummer, Panther Byrne, and I did a show at the CCA in New Orleans, Camp Street. So,
do you remember your first tour?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I remember it. coast to coast. Yeah, we had that Rough Trade release, Rough Trade San Francisco, and they did a lot to promote Behind the Magnolia Curtain album when we toured behind that.
What was it, a big one? How many gigs?
It was a month.
Okay.
We traveled in the station wagon.
Whoa.
With our bass player. We had a bass player.
You toured in a station wagon.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that's how they did it in the old days.
We had a U-Haul on the back.
Oh, yeah, a trailer. Okay. And because those dudes in the old days, no trailer. They toured in station. Yeah. I remember John Coltrane like Country Squires, I think.
And we had a mattress in the back, and I slept on the mattress. Had a lot of long drives. Excuse me a moment.
Did you have expectations? Did you know about, have ideas about tour before you did it? Because for me it was such a surprise. I had no idea what it was going to be like.
Well, I had some knowledge of that because I knew bands toured. We had... The Cramps came to Memphis in 1980 and recorded.
They recorded right here.
They recorded here.
People, it was called Songs the Lord Taught Us. Great album.
Yes, and Alex Chilton produced that record. And so I was hanging out here at the studio during those sessions. And... I knew they toured, and they also had Panther Burns perform on the first time we performed in New Orleans was opening for the Cramps, and the first time we appeared on the West Coast was opening for the Cramps on a Halloween show with Vampira, Panther Burns.
Vampira?
Cramps, yeah.
The lady?
Yeah.
The horror...
Came out of a coffin on the
TV.
Stage.
She'd be on TV in these B-movies. She'd be like a hostess. Mm-hmm. And another cat before her called Seymour in SoCal. I found out that there was local guys all over. Like Cleveland had one. Detroit. The Astro Brothers told me about a Detroit one.
Yeah, Memphis had one too.
You guys had one too. It was all over the country. People are at the end of the second hour, July 9, 2017, edition of Watford Pedro Show, special guest, Tab Falco, hold tight for hour three. July 9, 2017, it's the third hour of the Watford Pedro Show.
Show it on. Ich pflanze einen Zitronenbaum meinem Freunde, dem Kind, dem Genie. Am Stamme, da darf er matten, die Blätter spenden ihm Schatten. Mit Früchten will ich ihn wecken, Süße zu träumen und Säure zu schmecken. Kein Kummer ist nutzlos nie.
Thank you. glaubt ans Vergessen. Die Zeit hat ein Loch.
Thank you. Glass painting, notice nothing unusual, just the rain. Well, now you know what's in store for you. You walk into the room, expand your mind, you know.
Lock for Pedro Show started the third hour off with Streamline Train. Tab. Streamline Train. Oh, by Tab, Falco's Talking Birds. Tell me about that tune. He's challenging people, sorry. I got him. I put the question. Here, I'll tell you the rest of the songs while he's chewing. Why I Was Born. Nels Klein from his new album Lovers. Kimborn Kessner, out of Berlin there, the Swedish guy. With Lithium, The Dome from Clay Chaplin, incredible album. In Glass Painting by Vistain, out of Sauk Valley, Illinois, just west of Chicago. Finally, I Took Your Name with Corduroy. Streamline Train.
Streamline Train, I learned from the She-Wolf, Jesse May Hemphill, from the Hemphill family musicians in the hill country of North Mississippi here, down in Como, around Como, Panola County.
Yazoo River?
I think the Yazoo is not that far north.
So when they sing the Yellow Dog,
well, that's in, well, you know, in the lore of this part of the South, the Yellow Dog is a term for the Kansas City Southern Railway. No, I meant the Yazoo and Mississippi Valley Railway.
Yeah. Okay.
And the point where they cross Kansas City Southern lines, Decay, and the Yellow Dog, where they cross in Mississippi, is a kind of mystical crossroads. And it's always, people talk about where the
Robert Johnson.
where the Katy crosses the Yellow Dog. Well, Robert Johnson didn't sing about those two railroads, but the idea of a crossroads is something mystical and numinous about that in the lore of the South. And I use where the Katy crosses the Yellow Dog in my song Memphis Ramble. But Streamlined Train has nothing to do with the Yellow Dog Railway. The Streamlined okay. Train is a song about a streamlined train is one that is very fast and very modern looking.
Is it like this cufflinks you gave me?
Yeah, that's a streamlined.
Okay. People, listeners, I'm wearing some streamlined cufflink. Look, the only time I've worn cufflinks in my life, incredible gift given to me a year and a half ago when I did this tour. And I guess they were gifted to you by Big Jim.
Yeah, those were a gift, a birthday gift from Jim Sklavunas. And when we got out on tour, the Jim Sklavunas had played drums with Panther Burns quite a bit. We got out on tour with Michael Watt and found that he had no cufflinks to wear with his Gianni Uomo suit.
That and big cuffs, people. You can't put these on regulars. You got to have some big cuffs. What are they called?
French.
Like, if you don't have the cufflinks, they're going to go almost to the ends of your fingers.
So Watt had got a French cuff shirt, which I asked him to get for his Gianni Uomo suit that he had made for the
Whistleblower Tour.
The Whistleblower Tour with Panther Burns. So at any rate, he came into those cufflinks that way. And there's Art Deco looking cufflinks, and the Streamlined Train had this Art Deco modern design.
Okay.
It was a fast train, and so Jesse May Hemphill sings about how this streamlined train comes through and this drone blues that she played on that song, and how streamlined train came through and blew black smoke on her.
Can I, because you got a lot of experience with the train, would you consider it kind of a musical trip? The sound of it? The vibration of it?
Well, you know, the sound and the syncopation of the wheels of the trains on the tracks in the American South is part of the origins of the blues. That's part of the rhythmic origins of the blues. And the melodic, one of the melodic origins is the steam whistle in, on the locomotives, steam locomotives. In those days, each engineer had their own steam whistle. And when they were called out on their run, they brought their own whistle.
Wow.
And it was chimed to their specifications. It was their signature, and when they were rolling down the rails and they blew that whistle, people up and down the line heard it and they knew, oh, well, that's that engineer.
Yeah.
Someone else had a different sound was another engineer.
So they made it personal.
Yeah, and Casey Jones, you know, became a legend. He was an engineer that was always on time. He was never late. And people knew it was Casey Jones by the sound of his whistle, by the melody. So the whistle and the syncopation of the wheels on the rails, you hear it in the blues.
Yeah. Yeah. You were talking earlier about leaving the U.S. and going to the old country. Yeah, what was that like?
Well, it was a product of touring with Panther Burns in Europe. My first tour, we played the first show in Harlem, Netherlands, and I saw...
Yeah, people, believe it or not, the original Harlem is in New York City, part of Manhattan. It's actually...
Well, there were a lot of Dutch names.
Because they were there early. I think Hoboken, I think Brooklyn.
Yeah. Bedford Stuyvesant.
That was the last governor. I think one legged me. Cuomo legged me. Pardon me.
Anyhow.
Okay, so you played
all these people riding bicycles everywhere, all these bicycles, and people living in buildings that there were no freestanding houses, you know.
Sure.
It was a little different than New York.
Oh, because they're in buildings too, yeah.
Yeah, but it's still different, still kind different. Of yeah, way of life and the way they were living in these buildings, because that's all their work. And I thought, God, I could never live like that coming from Memphis.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because you have some years in New York.
Well, I was in and out of New York at that time. I lived a little bit in New York in the 80s, the early 80s. And but it was still different in Europe. Anyhow,
I agree.
After a few tours and doing some recording in Europe, I began to penetrate the culture.
Yeah.
And it was a very fertile experience because of the different cultures from country to country. Each one,
right, they're close.
Each region had, you know, a distinct culture and often a distinct language.
Yeah.
So that was fascinating. And then I produced a record on a group in Linz, Austria. And I got, after that, somehow national radio in Vienna asked me to come over to Vienna for an interview. And a product of that hour interview was that I was offered my own radio show on national radio in a program called Music Box. So about once a month I had my own show, which was the Tab Falco's Wild and Exotic World of Motion Picture Soundtracks. And then I did some interviews with Memphis musical celebrities for national radio.
Yeah.
And a couple of other programs. I did one on Argentine Tango, which was the one that received the most phone calls.
Okay.
Yeah, I did that show. And that one in Sam the Sham and the Pharaohs, that interview.
Man, by the way, people, this studio is where Willy Bully was recorded.
Yeah, in this studio, Willy Bully was recorded here. And I recorded the interview with Sam the Sham.
Okay, incredible.
And Roland James engineered it. So, anyway, those two shows, the switchboard, the national radio in Austria lit up like a Christmas tree.
Okay. Yeah. Because there's people, you know, Argentina, of course, you think of the tango, but there's a European connection.
Well, yeah, you know, the tango was in the 1920s, had an extraordinary popularity, and there was a relationship between Buenos Aires and Paris. And, you know, Buenos Aires looked to Europe. It wasn't, not to the rest of South America.
Yeah, right.
Its connection was Paris.
Okay.
And that was the second language.
Okay.
In Buenos Aires. And the architecture, there was so much French architecture.
Okay.
Even though the British came and built the railways.
Okay.
The culturally, the connection was Paris. You know, in Argentine is an Italian who acts French, thinks he's British, and speaks Spanish.
Because there's a lot of Italian immigrants there too, I know that. Or there was immigration.
And the whole patois, the lunfardo, argot of Buenos Aires is a major part of that language is Italian.
Lunfardo?
Lunfardo.
Moon?
Loon. Lunfardo.
Yeah, like moon?
no, yeah, Loon, Loon Fardo. And a lot of tango lyrics were composed in Loon Fardo.
Okay.
So if you don't know that language, you're not going to decipher.
So it's some kind of dialect.
Yeah, it's a dialect.
It's the first time I heard
Argo.
It.
It's more than a dialect.
It's its own language.
Argo.
Okay.
And I have a theory that it formed in relatively the same way that hipster jive from the 1930s, 20s and 30s developed in the big cities, in New York, New Orleans, both port cities.
SF.
So that the underworld and those who were locked up could speak in a language that the man could not understand.
Yeah.
And I think this happened in Buenos Aires too.
Wow.
That, because tango was like, in a sense, like some early jazz. Even more so, tango was forbidden.
Oh, okay.
And it was music that was the music of the city, the music of the port, that came out of the brothels and off the streets.
And was cosmopolitan.
Well, it was cosmopolitan in
not in the straight way.
That big ports are cosmopolitan.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
People from
all over the influence.
The world living in the ports.
That's what I mean.
So, and it's very rich. Really exposed to Argentine music and tango dancers.
Okay.
And tango masters was in Europe. Once in L.A., walking somewhere, I passed a window front, and I looked inside, and someone was getting a tango lesson. And I stepped in through the door and watched a few minutes. That was the first time I was exposed to the dance. Other than that, I only heard the music here and there. But in Europe, I was exposed to a lot of tango. And in Vienna, there was a whole tango demi-monde, which I'm still a part of. And when I lived in Paris for 4 years, I was immersed in Argentine tango there.
Okay.
And then I went to Buenos Aires for 4 months
to
dance and to further expose myself to the music.
Yeah. But you're still in Europe.
I have a residence in Vienna.
Right. A number of years now.
It's been a while.
Interesting. Something, a turn in your life you probably would never have maybe envisioned as a younger man.
No, I would not have anticipated that.
Yeah. It's just trippy how life works out. We're going to play Pass the Hatchet.
Chop it. first thing I noticed going into an empty schoolyard is the sap in the ring of cables and chains on metal posts. Through the clear of the dark, they are ringing for me. They have been ringing for me. They've been calling to me, calling and calling for ages. In a quiet field I stand, knowing not its emptiness or mine. With hardly a friend I head out across emptiness. Where are the stars? Where are the hands to hold? Someone to tell my life to. Just another quiet room and what I carry, all of this emptiness. A quiet turmoil leaves signs of the mind, debris left on the storm's quiet shore. Don't damn me without knowing the good or the bad you may find. From my desk comes eloquence and the beauty of all this emptiness. On a quiet lake I grasp this beauty, and I want to share it with you. I want to pull you away from the others, just get your attention, that you might pull me away from all this emptiness.
Watch for Pedro Show. Last music for this edition, Pass Hatchet, Tad Falco's Panther Burns. The Sunken Forest from Petra Hayden. And finally, Joe Brewer. All This Emptiness. Great poem. Tad, plans for the future.
I want to make part two of my movie.
Tell me a little bit about part one.
Urania Descending, part one we have completed, and we have shown Urania Descending in key cinemas and
I got to see it at the Egyptian
platforms. Mike Watt was at the Steven Spielberg Cinema inside the Egyptian Grauman's Egyptian Theater on Hollywood Boulevard on June 3rd of 2017 to view our movie, which was premiered there. And we've shown in Paris and London, you know, Silencio, the private cinema club of David Lynch in Paris, in Vienna at Metro Kino, the National Film Archive there, in San Francisco at the Roxy Theater, and other places. This is an intrigue movie, an intrigue with mythic and poetic undercurrents. Urania Descending, Urania, the muse of the heavens, and her avatar comes to earth in the most unlikely form, that of a disaffected American girl. On the banks of the Arkansas River, in a shopping center, she comes accosted again by another sodbuster redneck. And possibly she sees a poster hanging in a travel agency window and impulsively goes in and buys a one-way ticket to merry old Vienna. And that is where the intrigue begins. So this is a troika of films, a triptych. Part one, part two, part three, part two. We'll transition from the Lake District of Austria, from the Attersee, back to Hotel Orient in Vienna, and then decamp to Monaco. Part three, we'll transition from Monaco to Venice, to Venezia, on the lagoon. But right now, where I've written a scenario for part two, and we're in the process of development. That is one part, and then right now, as you know, we're recording this Christmas album, a Tad Falco Christmas, right here at Phillips Studio in Memphis, coming out on Record Store Day, Black Friday 2017, on Org Music out of Los Angeles. And that is a future happening. Then that's what I'm looking at right now.
Yeah. And people, you can go to tavfalco.com for information. TAVFALCO.com. It's all kinds of infos and neat stuff there.
It's all there.
You've had quite a journey.
It's been a circuitous journey of torturous, winding, circuitous, up and down, sideways, something of a roller coaster, something of a long haul here and there, breakdowns in Death Valley, catching on fire more than once, incendiary moments on stage and off, but the Panther Burns are still the last steam engine train left on the track.
Yeah.
That don't do nothing but run and blow.
That's great. A person kind of new to the field of expression asked you for advice. What would you tell them?
A quitter never wins and a winner never quits.
Yeah. Those are great words. Thoughts. Well, I thank you so much for being on the show and letting me be part of Panther Burns and this legacy.
We are privileged, Watt, to have you among the brotherhood of the Panther Burns.
Thank you.
But I warn you.
Yeah.
Once you're in, you'll never get out.
Okay. A bit more. Okay. But it's an honor for me.
Likewise.
People, it's been the July 9th, 2017 Disco Off from Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.